standing start. So I've no doubt at all that there's some kind of idea floating around in your mind about this ghost.
Well, sort of an idea, yes.
A name, perhaps? Nanny shifted uncomfortably, and not only because of the money bags under her skirt.
I've got to admit, something crossed my mind. A kind of feeling. I mean, you never can tell.
Granny nodded. Yes, it's all neat, isn't it? It's a lie.
You said last night you saw the whole thing.
It's still a lie. Like the lie about masks.
What lie about masks?
The way people say they hide faces.
They do hide faces, said Nanny Og.
Only the one on the outside.
No one took much notice of Agnes. The stage was being set for the new performance tonight. The orchestra were rehearsing. The ballerinas had been herded into their practice room. In various other rooms, people were singing at cross purposes. But no one seemed to want her to do anything. I'm just a wandering voice, she thought. She climbed the stairs to her room and sat on the bed. The curtains were still drawn, and in the gloom the strange roses glowed. She had rescued them from the bin because they were beautiful, but in a way she'd have been happier if they weren't there. Then she could have believed she'd imagined the whole thing. There was no sound from Christine's room. Telling herself that it was really her room anyway, and Christine had just been allowed to borrow it, Agnes went in. It was a mess. Christine had got up, got dressed, either that or a thorough but over-enthusiastic burglar had gone through every drawer in the place, and gone. The bouquets that Agnes had put into whatever receptacles she could find last night were where she had left them. The others were where she had left them too, and they were already dying. She caught herself wondering where she could find some jars and pots for them and hated herself for it. It was as bad as saying poot. You might as well paint welcome on yourself and lie down on the doorstep of the universe. It was no fun at all having a wonderful personality. Oh, and good hair. And then she went and found pots for them anyway. The mirror dominated the room. It seemed to grow a little larger each time she looked at it. All right, she had to know, didn't she? Heart pounding, she felt around the edges of it. There was a little raised area that might have looked like part of the frame, but as her fingers moved across it, there was a click, and the mirror swung inwards a fraction of an inch. When she pushed at it, it moved. She breathed out and stepped in.
"It's disgusting," said Salzella. "It's pandering to the most depraved taste."
Mr. Bucket shrugged.
"It's not as though we're putting good chance of seeing someone throttled on stage on the posters," he said. "But news has got around. People like drama."
"You mean the watch didn't want us to shut down?"
"No, they just said we should mount guards like last night and they'd take steps."
"Steps to the nearest place of safety, no doubt."
"I don't like it any more than you do, but it's gone too far. We need the watch now. Anyway, there'd be a riot if we closed. Ankh Morpork has always enjoyed excitement. We're completely sold out.
The show must go on."
"Oh, yes," said Salzella nastily. "Would you like me to slit a few throats in the second act, just so no one feels disappointed?"
"Of course not," said Bucket. "We don't want any deaths. But..."
The "but" hung in the air like the late Dr. Undershaft. Salzella threw up his hands.
"Anyway, I believe we are past the worst," said Mr. Bucket.
"I hope so," said Salzella.
"Where's Signor Basilica?" said Bucket.
"Mrs. Plinge is showing him his dressing room."
"Mrs. Plinge hasn't been murdered?"
"No, no one has been found dead so far today," said Salzella.
"That is good news."
"Yes, and it must be, at least 12:10,
said Salzella with an irony that Bucket quite failed to notice.
"I will go and fetch him up so that we can have lunch, shall I? It must be a good half an hour since he had a snack."
Bucket nodded. After the director had gone, he surreptitiously checked his desk drawers again. There was no letter. Perhaps it was over. Perhaps it was true what they were saying about the late doctor. Someone knocked at the door 4 times. Only one person could achieve 4 knocks without any rhythm whatsoever.
Come in, Walter.
Walter Plinge stumbled into the room.
"There's a lady," he said. "She's to see Mr. Bucket."
Nanny Og poked her head around the door.
"Cooey," she said. "It's only me."
"It's Mrs. Ogg, isn't it? Said Mr. Bucket.
There was something slightly worrying about the woman. He didn't recall her name on the list of employees. On the other hand, she was clearly around the place. She wasn't dead, and she made a decent cup of tea. So was it his worry if she wasn't getting paid?
Good gracious, I'm not the lady, said Nanny Ogg. I'm as common as muck, mate.